is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to have open ears, open hearts, and open minds to what you want to say to us through your word this morning, that you might be glorified in our church and in our lives. Amen. 2 weeks ago, when we were last looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, we were thinking about the joyful unity that both comes from living a life worthy of the gospel and points to a life worthy of the gospel. How when we publicly live our shared calling as Jesus followers in the way we conduct our lives, we are united with and an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are also a powerful witness to the world. Amazing. However, let's just get real for a moment. Unity, even amongst Christians, I think is easier said than done. One of the wonderful things about the church, the family of Christ, is its glorious diversity. We in this room are all wonderfully different. I can only just about cope with one of me, so I'm mightily relieved that you're not all like me. Local churches around the world are all wonderfully different, and I give thanks for that. But in the context of all being so different, the sort of unity described in verses 1 to 4 of chapter 2 of Philippians sounds wonderful in theory, but surely it's idealistic and unattainable in practice. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. That sounds great, but is that really possible? A few years ago, there was a picture of a dress that went viral online, and I think it was in the news and in the newspapers. Some people saw it as gold and white, whilst others saw it as blue and black. Does anyone remember what I'm talking about? Yeah, there are some nods. People were divided on the colour of this dress. People who saw it as gold and white could just not see how others could see it as blue and black, and vice versa. Now, I think there was a scientific explanation that I don't really understand for why people saw the different colours, why they saw the colours of this dress differently. But the reality is still that they saw it differently, even if there's an explanation for why, they still saw it differently. People were not of one mind on what colour it was. And so I've got one for us this morning. It's going to appear on the screens. Some of you might have seen this before, but I wonder if you can put up your hand if you see a duck. Okay, I think that might be most of you. And put up your hand if you see a rabbit. Okay, maybe we need to do it again with what you saw first. Put up your hand if you saw a duck first. Okay, put up your hand if you saw a rabbit first. I wanted to make the point that we're divided. I think most of us can both see a duck and a rabbit. But the point is, with these kind of images, we see different things. We're all looking at the same picture. Perhaps that wasn't the best one. There are some much more complicated ones out there. We're all looking at the same image. And hopefully our desire in this room is to be united. But that doesn't necessarily translate into all of us being of one mind. We see things differently. Now, I hope that was a relatively inoffensive illustration, and I'm not going to have to mediate duck-rabbit arguments over coffee. Things are bad if that is what we're arguing about over coffee. But let's put in something else. We see things differently or have different views in all sorts of areas of our life. Perhaps it's what to have for tea tonight, or perhaps it's whether it's tea, dinner, supper, or evening meal. Or more seriously, on political or moral or ethical questions. We see things differently. We can have the heart and the desire to be united, and yet we see things differently. I don't know about you, but when I'm asked to do something that feels overwhelming or seemingly impossible, I like to hear or see an example. And very helpfully for us and for the Philippians, Paul doesn't just give this vision of unity that will make his joy complete, but he also gives some examples of what being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind, actually looks like in practice. And Paul doesn't just give his own example, he gives us the example of Christ. So let's look down together at the passage. If you've not got it open, I'd encourage you to follow along. It's 1179 in the Bibles, or you can get it up on your phone. And we're going to think about motivations for unity and the mindset of unity, if anyone finds it helpful to know where we're going this morning. For the church in Philippi to be united, they have to want this. This sounds obvious, but I think we just need to name that. To be united, you have to want unity in the first instance. So what we have in verse 1 are reasons to pursue unity. And these pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. So motivations for unity. The encouragement that comes from being part of the family of believers, the church. That's a reason to pursue unity. The sense of belonging that comes when we're in Christ, another reason to pursue unity. The sharing of life with others and the seeing of the outworking of the Spirit in their lives and the encouragement that is to us, seeing a community grow in the Spirit. That's a reason to pursue unity. The experience of the love of the Christian community and the understanding in times of suffering. It's a reason to pursue unity. These are just some of the blessings that come when Jesus followers live the Jesus story together. Paul is saying to the Philippians, let these things motivate you to be like-minded, to be of one mindset. What is the mindset that Paul is calling the Christians in Philippi to? It is verses 3 through 5. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in unity, value others above yourselves. Not look into your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And we're going to think a little bit more about that in just a moment. There are two related things that characterize being like-minded, and neither of them are agreeing with one another. You might be relieved to hear that. The two related things that characterize being like-minded are humility and looking to the example of Jesus. And they're related because when we look to the example of Jesus, we know who we are and we know whose we are. And when we're confident and secure in who we are and whose we are, we can live lives of joyful humility. We know that Jesus is Lord and we are not. And we know that we are loved, valued children of God, made in the image of God. And so is everyone around us. Often I think we think of humility as putting ourselves down, but that's not the definition of humility we have here. Here it is not making less of ourselves or making ourselves less, but rather not trying to advance or elevate ourselves, not trying to get ahead or be seen as better than others, because we don't need to. We know who we are and we know whose we are. And knowing who we are and whose we are gives us the freedom to put others before ourselves. We're not in any kind of competition. Tom Wright, you might have heard of him. I think he was former Bishop of Durham. He's a New Testament scholar. In his Paul for Everyone commentary on Philippians, he tells the story of having been invited to a dinner party with 20 or 30 guests. And once the host had said grace, they then proceeded to remind all the guests that the most important person in the room is the person sitting next to them. I find that a really helpful way of understanding the humility that characterizes being like-minded. When I look to the example of Jesus, I am not the most important person in the room. It's not all about me. And neither is the person over there who I think that I have more in common with. I'm sure we've all been in situations where we kind of gravitate towards those that are like us. They're not the most important person in the room either. The most important person in the room is the person next to me. And what this means is we're all the most important people in the room to someone else. And in this way, humility leads to unity. Just take a look at the people next to you. They are the most important person in this room right at this moment. The one mindset then that Paul urges the Philippians to pursue is not everyone agreeing with everyone else. Can you imagine if we were all trying to agree with each other? It would be like when Christians try to decide who's going to go through a door first. No, you go, no, you go, no, after you. The one mindset is not agreeing with one another, but an attitude towards one another. It's an attitude that we can't adopt by ourselves, but only through looking to the example of Jesus. Jesus, whose mindset was not to avoid dying on the cross, not to use his divinity, the fact he was God, to his own advantage, that's verse 6, but instead, in an expression of this very divinity, became human, that's verse 7. The making himself nothing in verse 7, or in some translations it sometimes emptied himself, and also the humbling of himself in verse 8. These are not expressions of Jesus putting himself down or some kind of divine disempowerment. but a radical expression of the one true living God. In the ancient world, divinity and the pursuit of authority, power, superiority, respect, the worship of others being held in high esteem went together. In fact, I'd like to suggest that in different ways, it's not actually that dissimilar in the world that we live in. In all sorts of ways, small and big, we pursue status and value and worth. Whether it's getting a promotion, having the most friends on social media, needing to take the credit for something. Jesus changes all of this up. He doesn't need to pursue any of these things, authority, power, superiority, respect, the worship of others, being held in high esteem. He doesn't need to pursue any of these things because he knows who he is and whose he is. Jesus's humility Jesus' humility involuntarily giving up his life in dying on a cross for the sins of the world is a powerful countercultural declaration of who God is. This is the point that's been made in verses 9 to 11. God exalting Jesus to the highest place, giving him the name that is above every name, declaring that every knee should bow before him and every tongue declare that he is Lord, is proof that Jesus is God. Because God's sharing his glory with Jesus here, and so God doesn't share his glory other than with God. In Jesus, God voluntarily humbled himself. This is the God we worship, a God who makes himself known in joyful humility. And this is the mindset of Christ, what Christ had in mind, making God known through an attitude of joyful humility. The Philippians' unity in the gospel needs to flow from an attitude of humility following the example of Jesus Christ. If they try to achieve unity in their own strength, if they try to achieve all these things that are good, I hope we'd agree they're good, being a community of encouragement, belonging, a community that delights in the Spirit being at work in people's lives, where there is comfort and love and understanding, all these things are good. But if they try to have all of these things in their own strength, without being single-mindedly focused on Jesus as Lord, or if they try to create unity by agreement, there will be division, as there is in the church in Philippi. Instead, they are to be of one mindset, having an attitude of humility, knowing who they are and whose they are. I'd like to suggest this is good advice for us too. And I'd also like to say at this point that the church and church leaders have on so many occasions not had the attitude of humility, not modelled the example of Jesus. Positions of power have been abused with devastating consequences. And for this, I am sorry. Growing in joyful unity as we seek to live lives worthy of the gospel that witness to the world needs to start not with ourselves, but with Jesus. That's the only way we're ever going to be united in the way Paul describes in verses 1 to 4. If we start with ourselves, we will never be of one mind. It will be like the dress or the rabbit duck image at the beginning. We just see things differently. There'll be no way to find unity if we start with ourselves. But I think the challenge or the encouragement or the invitation for us this morning is to start with Jesus, with the Jesus story. The Jesus calling to be like-minded in our attitude. Not through always agreeing with one another, but through having Jesus at the center of our lives and his attitude of humility at the heart of our relationships. I think this is good advice for us as individuals and as a church. The most important person in the room right now is the one you're sitting next to. And when you're having coffee, the most important person in the room is the one that you're talking to. Amen.